You're listening to the Valley Vegas Church Podcast. Valley Vegas is located at 4500 West Sahara Avenue in the heart of Las Vegas. For more information and to get connected with us, visit valleyvegas.org. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
We've been going through arguably the most challenging time in recent years with this coronavirus pandemic. It has radically changed our normal rhythms of life, and the future that we face is as uncertain as we've ever come across. Many in our city, many of you, you face an unknown future. But I want to encourage you today to trust God and walk in faith during this time. I love this Corrie Ten Boom quote. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. But see, there are thoughts and there are words and there are attitudes that I call faith robbers that keep us from trusting God. And I want to expose those faith bandits today. And I want to seek to turn you from a man and woman of fear into a powerful man and woman of faith. Now, I want to take a look at an event in the life of Moses and discovers what steals our faith. Moses. He was one of the greatest men in the Bible. He was used mightily by God. To many Bible readers, his accomplishments are well known, but what is less known and talked about is the lack of faith shown by Moses when God initially called him to lead his people out of Egyptian slavery. Moses gives three reasons why he can't do what God has asked him to do, and I believe those reasons are very much oftentimes our reasons why we won't step out and be people of faith when our future is unknown. Now, here's Moses' first excuse that he gave. Moses says, I don't have the goods. I don't have what it takes, God, to do what you've asked me to do. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, it reads this. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? See, the biggest mistake that you can make when deciding to step out in obedience and faith is to inventory your strengths. Why is that a mistake? Because one, either you will overestimate how awesome you are and then set yourself up for a big fat fall, or as in the case of Moses, you will measure yourself against the call of God or the task that he's called you to, and it will seem much bigger and oftentimes is much bigger than what you're naturally capable of doing. The best way is to not focus on what you don't have, but focus on this truth. And it's a truth that we've heard very often, but it's so true that if God guides, God will provide. Now, look at God's response to the objection that Moses gave. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12 says, and he said, certainly, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. This is how God works, folks. You step out in faith, and God shows up in power. The waters of the Jordan River were cut off, allowing the people to cross into the promised land after the priests stepped in. The mouths of the lion in the pit that Daniel was being thrown into for not stopping to pray to God, they were shut after he was thrown into it. The Lord came and kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being burned alive in the furnace for not bowing down to the idol after they stepped forward. You see, most people's problem is that they want God to move before they step out, not after they step out. For instance, people say, God, you cut off the Jordan River, let it dry out a little bit. Make it a cobblestone, flower-lined path, and then I will cross into the promised land. Or, Lord, you give these lions lockjaw first, and then I'll jump down into the pit. Or, Father, you turn the furnace down to a comfortable 72 degrees, and then I'll be more than willing to step into it. You see, I have a slide that I want to show you that you really need to get this into your heart and into your spirit. That slide says that you'll never experience the power of God until you obey the Word of God. Most people, they want the power to do what God's called them to do. They want to have faith to believe that God will take care of the future, but they want to have proof of it first before they step out. And God's MO has always been, you step first and then I will meet you in response. Oh, we have to get that truth down. That is a faith robber if we're waiting for God to move before we step out in faith. Well, here's a second faith robber, and that is, I don't have the answers. I don't know. I can't predict the future. What if somebody wants me to do something or say something that I don't have the answers to? Oh, I'm paralyzed with fear. Exodus 3:13, Moses said this. Then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Oh, Moses. Moses, like many of us, faced and feared something that never came to pass, I should say. Moses thought that the Hebrews, his people in Egyptian bondage, would want to know what made Jehovah God any different than the hundreds of gods that the Egyptians had. Moses was saying, God, these people, they've been in captivity nearly 500 years. They don't even know who you are. The only gods that they're familiar with are the gods of the Egyptians. When I come and tell them that you sent me, they'll say, who? I don't know your God. But as many of us have experienced, the thing that we worry about never comes to pass. Look at Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And here's the interesting thing. The Hebrew children, the Hebrew people there in Egypt, they never asked Moses to explain God. When Moses says, I am who I am has sent me to you, they said, good enough for me. They never, ever, you see, questioned who God was. Well, many times we were like Moses. We don't move out in faith for fear of something that will most likely never even happen. Moses incorrectly thought that he had to have all the answers, have his act completely together before he could completely give himself to God. Oh, that's a mistake. Let me let you in on a little secret, okay? You will never have your act completely together, and neither will I. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten into this pulpit to preach a sermon in a full-blown fight with Vicky. Madder than a hornet, she'll be sitting in the back and I'll look up and she's scowling at me and I can't really scowl at her because people are watching, but inside I'm scowling at her and we don't have that thing resolved. And yet, time didn't allow for us to resolve our conflict. A sermon needed to be preached, and so I came down here and eventually took care of it later. If you think that you have to have every T crossed and every I dotted before you can step out in faith, oh, you'll never step out, because the reality is that we're never going to be completely together. See, when you step out in faith and do the things that God's asked you to do, an amazing thing happens. You start getting your act together. God has called us to step out in faith. He's told us you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be a completely polished, you know, fine-tuned final product. Step out, obey me, do what I've asked you to do, and as you're doing that along the way, I will clean you up, I will straighten you out, I will help you get your act together. But it's only when you move out. If you're waiting to be completely perfect and polished and the finished product, and okay, God, now use me, you'll never be used because you'll never be completely polished. But step out in faith anyway. Now, here's the last faith robber, and that is, I don't have the faith, Moses says. I don't have what it takes to believe you, God. I'm not a real strong person of faith. And Exodus 4, chapter 10, or verse 10 says this, then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seen or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Oh, my goodness. The Lord told him, said, Moses, I'll be with you. I'll put words in your mouth. And still he says, well, send somebody else. And that really angered the Lord. Cutting through all the excuses that Moses gave, it really came down to his lack of faith in what God had said to him. God says, I did not make a mistake in choosing you. You don't think I knew how you talk? You don't think I understand how you communicate? I know that I made you. Just do what I said and what I've asked you to do. And Moses still could not believe that. And that really angered God. In fact, the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the opposite apparently is true too, that when you don't have faith, that displeases God. Nothing drains faith from a person than these two things I've said. These are what I call faith drainers. One is inactivity. This may have been Moses' problem. Moses had been tending sheep, oftentimes alone as shepherds are, in a very lukewarm city of Midian. Now, if you want to be an on-fire Christian, then you need to hang around other on-fire Christians. Let me give you an example. Some of you still grill barbecue this way. I prefer this way. I'm just too lazy and too impatient to do it. I used to use charcoal briquettes to grill when I barbecue. Now I just go turn on the gas and 5 minutes later the meat's on there and another 5 minutes later it's on my plate. But charcoal, you know how that would have to work. You'd have to put it in a pile and you'd have to put lighter fluid on it and light it. And if the pile fell apart, you'd have to stack it together. Why? Because one coal would light the other coal. And the power of the fire was in that they were staying together. And then what would happen oftentimes is as it was building up on your little mountain of coal, if one coal that was lit fell away, it would very quickly go out. Why? Because it only burned in relation to the other coals. They fed off one another. Heat fed off of heat. And then, of course, when everything's good and hot, you spread it out and you're ready to grill. Well, it's the same way with people. We need to be around other on-fire Christians. If you get spiritually lazy, if you isolate yourself, if you become inactive, which for many of you during this time, that has been a real challenge for you to stay active in your faith because you haven't had a church service to attend. You haven't had the fellowship that you normally get. You haven't had the opportunity to volunteer that you're used to. And as a result of that, you become inactive. And you may have noticed that that has affected your faith. You're not as on fire for the Lord. And so you are a living illustration. I don't have to preach to you because you, unfortunately, may be experiencing that during this time in our city. But you need other people. You have to stay around them. On fire people need to be around other on fire people. Now, I've heard over the years, people come and they'll say, Pastor, I'd like to talk with you. And these are people oftentimes that have been very busy in the church. They come to services regularly. They serve regularly. They volunteer. They're connecting with other people. And it looks like things are going good, but they'll come to me and say, Pastor, says, we're burned out. We're just burned out. We've been so busy in the church and doing so many things. We need to take a break. And I'll tell them and say, oh boy, let me caution you. And I'll tell them all the reasons they shouldn't. No, we're just burned out. We need a break. And so all of a sudden I stop seeing them. I don't see them at church. as often, or maybe even at all. They're not volunteering. They're not having fellowship with one another. And they do this thinking, if I take a break, I feel burned out. If I take a break and become inactive, that will relight my fire. And just think about that premise. I'm going to take a break from church. I'm going to take a break from fellowship. I'm going to take a break from volunteering, and that's going to get me on fire. Doesn't even make sense. But it's a trick of the devil. And almost 100% of the time, when I look back, those people who thought, I need a break, I'm too busy, when they take this break thinking it will recharge them, it does the exact opposite. It brings them into a really bad place in their faith. And oftentimes that's followed by marital problems and just all kinds of issues. Why? Because they thought that what they needed was to be kind of a cool-off period. And really what they needed is probably more time with the Lord. Not more time being busy in the church, but just more time with the Lord. See, oftentimes we look for things to fill that void in our life. And what's really needed is just for us to connect with Him. We think, I need a break. I need to get more busy in the church even. But that's not satisfying. No, what you need is you need to connect with Him one-on-one. I'm not talking about ministry necessarily. Ministry is a part of it. But I'm talking about your personal times. You need to connect with God. That's the missing link. Oh, I hate to see it when that happens with people. Here's another faith drainer, and that is compromise. Nothing will drain your faith faster than compromise. Midian, the area that Moses had been in for the last 40 years, it was a very lukewarm city. The worship of Jehovah God, yes, was there, but equally important to a lot of these people was the worship of Baal. So you had people who were literally worshiping God and worshiping Baal, this false idol. Now, Jesus said concerning that, he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We don't know much about leaven because we don't bake our own bread much anymore, but leaven's that little piece of yeast that you stick into dough and it causes it to rise and get kind of fluffy and puts air in it so that way the bread's not so hard, and, you know, like a hard rock when you chew it. It's got some air and lightness in it. So they put a little bit of leaven, a little bit of that yeast, in fermented yeast, into the bread. He says, you don't need a whole lot, just a little bit. Just a little bit of that yeast will cause this bread to really get nice and aerated. Now, we make little compromises thinking, well, it's just a little compromise. Surely this can't have much of an effect in my life. Little realizing that little compromise acts like a piece of yeast, a piece of leaven. It gets in there and it maybe come in small, but man, does it begin to grow, and it begins to oftentimes just filter into so many areas of our life. And then we look at 6 months down the road and saying, how did I move so far away from God? I allowed things back into my life that at one time were out. Where did I go wrong? And oftentimes you can trace it back. It goes back to that one little compromise. That was the beginning. And one led to another, led to another, led to another. I have a rhema for some of you. You've heard this saying before, but it's still true. Here's the rhema. Here's the present word that God wants some of you to hear today. Some of you have too much sin in your life to enjoy God, and too much God in your life to enjoy your sin. You're a double agent. On one hand, you love God, you want to serve Him, but then on the other side is that you have your pet sins that you're still dealing with, that you're still enjoying, that you haven't set down yet. And you think that you can live that way. And you wonder, why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel so powerless in my Christian life? And yet, when I try to sin, why do I feel so guilty? And the reason for that is that you are ruined for sin. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, there's no way that you can ever enjoy sin anymore and feel good about it. Oh, we're going to sin. We're going to fall into things. But to try to live a life where you just accept that you're going to have certain sins in your life and you're going to have God in life and that those two can coexist, you're just kidding yourself. You have too much sin in your life to enjoy relationship with God, but you have God in your life, so you can't enjoy your sin like you used to. So what you need to do, you need to just set the sin aside. You'll never set God aside because Jesus says, those who the Father gives me, no one takes them out of my hand. You're in God's hand. Now, you want to be in God's hand with him pouring blessings upon you. You don't want to be in God's hand like some of you where he's got you in his hand and the other hand is spanking your hind end. You're being disciplined. And oftentimes the discipline is that you don't feel the joy. You don't have his peace in your life. He can't give it to you because you're not letting go of your sin. So today, drop it. Let go of it. Go all in for the Lord. And once you do that, you'd be surprised and amazed how much peace, how much power, how much joy would come back into your life. Compromise is to the Christian what cheap fast food is to an appetite. It fills you up for a time, but it leaves a bad aftertaste. And that is so true. That's what compromise will do. Feels good going in, but boy, once it's in, it just leaves a horrible taste in your mouth. Let me pray with you. Father, I pray for those that are listening and watching today. I pray, Father, that, Lord, this message, that video, God, would cause their faith to be rekindled, Lord. That, Lord, they need not fear the current situation they're in. They need not dread the future that they don't know. I pray, Father, that, God, they will just live in the now and just trust you, to believe in you, to just have the hope that, Lord, when they get down the road, you'll have gone ahead of them, you'll have provided for them, and they need not fear. Oh, God, I pray faith over people in place of fear today. If you are listening today and you don't know the Lord, or maybe you do know the Lord and you're in that category that I mentioned in my message where you have too much sin in your life to enjoy God, I want to encourage you right now to give yourself to Jesus Christ. That's why he came to earth for. He came to earth, became a man, died on the cross bearing our sins so that we might have a relationship with God. And all you need to do is acknowledge that he died for your sins. Receive the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and say, from this day forward, Lord, I give you my life. I want to obey you. If that's your decision, you prayed that today, then I want to encourage you that when we begin to get back to church, if you live here in Las Vegas, begin to come to church here, wherever you're listening from, you get back into church when they start back up again. Begin to read your Bible, begin to pray, get you some worship music where you can worship God daily, let go of some of the old friends, begin to embrace some of the new friends, and begin the path in walking with God. Well, anyway, hey, it was great meeting with you today. I want to encourage any of you moms that are here in the Las Vegas area. Today, we're going to be giving out special gifts to you. Come by today between 1 and 2 p.m. here at the church. Even if you're not a mom, we'd love to see you. If you're looking for a drive, just come down and say hello. Bring your mom, single moms especially, we'd love to see you. Everybody's invited to today, 1 to 2 p.m. Just come through the parking lot and we'll direct you from there. So other than that, God bless you and have a great rest of your Sunday.